That's good. Standing orders reinstated at 1:51. And we are still addressing item 11.4. Proposed pastoral permit, Tamla Station, lot 365, Useless Loop Road. I have a mover, Councillor Smith, and a seconder, Councillor Fenny. Any more discussion on that before I put the vote?
No. We've got a vote on it.
Okay.
That discussion goes on.
And Councillor Smith.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to move to vote down the officer's recommendation, and then I would like to propose an alternative resolution.
Councillor Fenny.
Yeah, unfortunately, while I support the application in principle, I can't support the recommendation as it reads currently. So I will not be supporting this recommendation.
Councillors, any other discussion? Okay, I'll now put the motion. All in favour of the motion as written in the agenda? All against? The motion is lost. 0-5. Okay. Councillor Smith.
I'd like to propose an alternative resolution as reads on our form here, and ask if the CEO could give a outline of the alternate resolution, please.
Okay, I will just ask for a seconder before I seconded. Councillor Fenny. Councillor Fenny.
No, I'd just like to hear the clarity on the alternative resolution.
Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. Through the chair, we've put the alternate resolution. You've got it in front of you. We've put it up on the screen there. 1A states that we have no objections to the grant of a modified pastoral permit. The second part of that, and we've outlined why it is a modified approval. The second part of A is going to be requesting a more detailed planning application with additional information as we request before any approval for a caravan park and camping licence is approved. B and C, D talks about a bushfire management plan which will be required. They'll need to demonstrate how they're going to manage bushfire. But B and C just talks more about why we are asking for the information, another level of detail before committing to the numbers attached to a permit. It's for the most part, it's talking about what we've just discussed out of session. So just to be clear, it is granting a modified pastoral permit. We will then determine what level of detail we want from them as part of a more detailed planning application that will need to be submitted.
Thank you. Councillors, any other discussion? Okay, as the mover, Councillor Smith, would you like to close the debate?
Yeah, no, I'm happy with the proposed alternative, thank you.
Okay, so we are now going to vote on the alternative motion as written in on the board behind us. All in favour? Carried 5-0. Okay, are we right, minute taker?
We've got the signed declaration.
Okay. proposed licence renewal planning application for the Common Reserve, item 11.5. Councillor Smith has declared an interest and is leaving the room. Okay, I call for a mover and a seconder of item 11.5. Move Councillor Fenny, seconded Councillor Ridgely. Councillor Fenny.
I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation.
Councillor Ridgely.
I would like to let this matter lay on the table till the February election, due to the fact that the Shire has elected to create a whole new licensing regime for this common. We spoke about it last month. We went to great pains when the camel was started up there to have no business conducted on the common. You can let 300 goats go in there, that's conducting a business. They can destroy the vegetation there for sure, like, and we just talked about the vegetation destruction down at Tarnler. And the other fact that which I just obviously missed all these years is the fact that all this water's going up into the common there. People are going to be using ratepayers' infrastructure for their own business purposes. So there's got to be a way that people can't have a business there unless they're going to pay an appropriate fee. $570 doesn't cut the mustard for, 63 hectares of land to make money out of for your own personal use. So we spent $800,000 fixing the bore for the town bore there. Sure, that water goes all the way to the airport and all those community things like the bowls club, the shooters club, the golf club, and the airport. The airport probably could be classified as a community thing, but the fact that the water is out there going to the common for free of charge. Now, I did notice, I have seen, there are sprinklers running up there in the common at various times at the moment. So how much water is getting used up there? Now, we live in a desert. Water is worth more than gold. So I'm having a real struggle with the town giving away the water. I know that, we can't monitor it, but ratepayers shouldn't have to pay to upkeep a bore so that other people can make money from that commodity.
Councillor Johns.
I agree with Councillor Ridgely. My concerns, obviously, with the use of the common being for animal adjustment, there are some ethical concerns requiring them to have water and shelter, is my understanding. And also that we don't have a full quorum of councillors here at the moment who I know are interested in this topic. So I'm not sure if they'd be good to have them here for February.
I'd like to hear from the CEO with regards to the bore and the upkeep and the potential for charging people to use the bore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Through the chair, look, I will point out that we had a similar item come up last meeting. As we spoke about at the November meeting, this is purely an in principle support for a effectively what is a reduced licence area coming down from 101 hectares to 65 hectares. What is done with this land by the applicant is the same thing that's been done by him for a number of years. The penned area for the goats, I might point out, is penned, and it's an area of 1,000 square metres, so the rest of the land is not inhabited, if you like, by the goats. So it's a function that's been provided by this applicant for a number of years under previous licences. Yes, we are, as an administration, redrafting our licence conditions. That will likely include an additional pricing regime that will, you know, in line with how much land is being is under licence. There is no restriction on the use of the common and whether it is commercial or otherwise. That's not an inhibitor. The revision of the licence conditions we should have completed hopefully within the next week or so. So we're just waiting on a final draft from our legal providers on that. In terms of the water, Councillor Ridgely, the water from the town bore is accessed by a number of members of the community, either at the bore directly, community groups, licence holders on the common, the airport, you know, services out foreshore. It's a, you know, there's a web of water infrastructure that comes from that bore. You know, to charge some and not others or all, you know, would put a significant burden on the Shire in terms of a commitment then to maintain that entire web of infrastructure, which would be a challenge. I mean, you know, Brian can probably talk more about, you know, how far and wide the access is to that the water from that bore. So I think that's a much bigger discussion, a much more comprehensive discussion, if council has appetite to look at anything like charging for water from the bore.
Councillor Finney.
Just again to speak for the recommendation. Historically, Mr. Holt has utilised the area at the common to hold goats that he's pulled off the national park. So he's had been commissioned previously by the Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attractions to remove goats from the national park and to be able to sell them to meatworks. He's used the land at the common to hold the goats and water them before he trucks them off. Can we remember as well, this is Bobby Holt, has an impeccable history, incredible connection to the area, has been doing the right thing at the common for a number of years. And if we look at the intent of the common, adjustment of livestock is something that is permitted on that, and I cannot refuse this application. I wish to support it.
Councillor Ridgely, would you like to move a motion to lay this on the table until February? If you do, you can propose a motion and we'll call for a seconder. Well, we have to vote on this motion. No, we don't.
Well, you can just defer it.
We can choose to lay it on the table.
Right.
Okay, Bill. But then we'd have to vote to defer the item then.
Yes.
So we need a motion to defer the item.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you like to move a motion to defer the item until the council meeting? Because then we'll ask for a seconder if you move that motion.
Sure.
Well.
Got to vote first?
Well, no. If you vote, you lose the motion and then it's dealt with, or win the motion and then it's dealt with. So you need to, if you would like to put a motion forward to move it, to defer the motion until February, then we'll have a seconder and then we'll vote on that. And if that vote's lost, we will keep addressing this motion. That's the way it works. You would like to move a motion to defer this item until February?
Yep.
Until the February meeting, OCM February. Then I would call for a seconder to the motion. As there is no seconder to the motion, Councillor Ridgely, we won't be putting the motion. As there is no seconder to the motion.
There's not.
Yeah. No, well, I've just said, I've called for a seconder to your motion. I have no seconder. which means we will not, we will carry on. Okay. Councillor Ridgely, would you like to move a motion to defer this into February?
I'd like to move a motion that this 11.5 gets put over till February 2026 for further comment.
Thank you, Councillor Ridgely. I would like to call for a seconder to Councillor Ridgely's motion. As there is no seconder, the motion is not carried, so we will continue with our discussions. We are discussing 11.5 as it is written in the agenda. Would any other councillors have any other discussion before Councillor Ridgely closes the... Councillor Finney closes the argument. Councillor Johns.
Thank you. I was just going to say that I'm happy with the comments from the Shire CEO, and I support it in principle with those comments.
Thank you, Councillor Johns. Councillor Finney? Nothing more? Okay, in that case, I put the motion as it is written in the agenda. All in favour? Carried 3. All against?
It needs to be an absolute majority. It's lost.
It needs to be an absolute majority, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's written over there. Okay. The item is lost. 3-1. Councillor reports to Merciful Fishing. I will ask you to invite Councillor Smith back in.
What time is he?
Councillor Smith, the motion was lost 3-1 on, because the motion required an absolute majority, in which case we needed 4 votes. And so the motion is lost. We will move on. Councillor reports, item 12.1, new statewide reforms for demersal fishing in Western Australia. This is a motion put forward by Councillor Smith, and I would ask him if he would like to move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Stubblefield. Yes, I would like to move the motion.
A seconder for the motion 12.1. Seconder, Councillor Finney. Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Mr. President. No doubt you will have read through the body of the report, and there has been a lot of detail, and could be a lot more detail in there. So what I've done is I've done two things, actually. Instead of doing my normal off the cuff and talk about it, I've actually penned the response this time. But just before I start on that, I thought long and hard about the detail of these impacts with the demersal fishing, how to change numbers, how to, you know, what's going to be the best fit for the bay, you know, which way should we go. So in the end, I came down to this. Today I want to talk about a straightforward and effective measure that can help us protect our local demersal fish stocks here in Shark Bay. Instead of diving into complexities of each species, individual numbers, I propose a simple 5 kilogram possession limit. This limit is not just a number, it's a practical platform that ensures a fair and sustainable approach to how we fish. We've seen through working effectively in other regions like Nanga, where people can still enjoy the fishery, take home a reasonable amount without over-exploiting it. If someone catches 2 large fish, and once they've filleted, they are slightly over the limit, they can share that catch amongst the family and friends. This approach supports, this approach was supported back in 2023 when the Minister Don Punch acknowledged similar adjustments to prevent exploitation of the high possession limits. That was brought in by us. We worked very hard to get that through. Let me just talk also about enforcement. Now, on the topic of enforcement, the 5 kilogram limit isn't just about simplicity for fishers. It's also about making things more manageable for the Fisheries Department. With limited resources, we have focusing our road checkpoints like the Nanga and the Steep Point allows a broader coverage. It's far more efficient than trying to have fisheries officers scattered over multiple boat ramps. So in that, it just gives us a more adaptable approach so we can put our fisheries guys in those locations and they get better coverage, better bang for your buck. By using the road checkpoints, a small team can effectively ensure compliance in a wider area. This approach has worked in the past and it means that we can maintain and limit more effectively without overstretching our resources. Another one I'd like to talk about, this might be a little bit more, for discussion, is sharing the load. Now, under a section I'd like to call sharing the load, I want to highlight that our 5 kilogram limit is tailored specifically for Shark Bay Gulf. We recognise that this suits us here, might not be perfect fit for other towns further north, like Exmouth, Coral Bay, Carnarvon. By setting a reduced limit here, we essentially give fishers a choice. If they want a higher possession limit, they can fish in other areas that have a different rule or different ruling. This approach helps distribute the fishing pressure more evenly and ensures Shark Bay isn't overfished, especially now that the southwest zone is closed for the next 2 years. By focusing this limit locally within the Shark Bay Marine Park, we protect our fishery while still allowing visitors to enjoy the area without contributing to our overfishing problem. Conclusion, in short, this five kilo limit is a balanced community friendly way to keep our fish stocks healthy while still letting everybody have their fair share. So whilst we can dive into all the detail about numbers, my proposal is that we not only just do our due diligence by having our fish stocks assessed, which I've asked for here is an urgent fish stock assessment, the reduction of bag limits, which I've just spoken about, and the possession limits. If we could look at 2 to 3 fish, I think that's an even better outcome. And time-sensitive action. This is something that we need to go back to the Minister and actually use our ability to put the pressure on them to get this to happen sooner than later. Right now, we're sitting ducks as a 5-bag limit, 10 kilo of demersal, plus your pelagic fish. We are the next in line after the closure. So we're going to have additional pressure on our fishing. So on that, I'd like to hear from other councillors.
Councillor Finney.
Yeah, so I obviously 100% support the recommendation in principle. In particular, just for references to point 1, 2 and 3, a stock assessment is essential. Any reductions need to be underpinned by science. Reduction of the demersal bag possession limits in light of the closure of the West Coast bioregion, I think it's imperative that we have a commensurate reduction in Shark Bay, considering where the closest bioregion that is not affected by the ban. One thing I just will note, again, I completely support it in principle. I just know that historically, particularly with the fisheries department, it'd be very difficult for them to implement town-specific reductions. I wouldn't want to preempt a decision from the department, but we may have a difficult time getting a specific reduction just for Shark Bay area. But if there's the outcome is that we do get a reduction for the Gascoyne bioregion, that's the intent of it, and I support it.
Councillor Ridgely.
I support the idea, but we've been here before with this a number of years ago, and the fishers all went to Carnarvon, and they came out of Carnarvon down into the Gulf, fished the Gulf back to Carnarvon, and that was a big issue. A lot like Carnarvon got a lot of, like, people went to Carnarvon, came down, fished back out of Carnarvon. Also too, in this letter from the Shires regarding, yeah, great for the tourism, but these hardcore fishermen aren't tourism. They're not tourists. All they do is buy fuel, beer, bring a lot of their fuel with them. They're not tourists. And I do feel that to Gascoyne, we want to attract tourists who come here for the beauty of the place. The Gascoyne, we've got ample tourists who want to enjoy the beauty of the place and not take it all away with them. So,
I'm not understanding your reading of the letter then.
I'm reading the letter, yeah. So I just read that. My concern.
To me is,
sorry?
You're interpreting it differently to the way it was written, I think.
Yeah, well, okay, but I agree with what Councillor Smith says. I did say that to the CEO when it first came out, but if we were to implement these measures in Denham, all the officials will go to Carnarvon. If Carnarvon put the same measures in, they'll come out of Carnarvon. But then I'll read the letter here about the tourism. Like, hardcore fishers, I don't consider them to be tourists. Like, sure, there's some sort of tourism because they spend money and so forth, but it would be great if we can make this place for what it is, that is natural beauty, not just its fishing things.
Councillor Johns.
I also support this one. My concern, though, is my understanding is managing compliance, regardless of the current limits that we have. My understanding is we have one trainee fisheries officer in town, and we have one that's on leave until April, and the other one has left town. So it's all well and good to have the possession limits and bag limits, even the ones that are in place, but who's going to actually manage compliance?
I'll speak to this at the moment. With regards of to the letter that the presidents have put together from Carnarvon, Exmouth, and Shark Bay, and the Gascoyne, the Upper Gascoyne, every council has a little aspect on this. Carnarvon, for example, are quite happy to see more tourism because their tourism has taken a big hit, and they think it's going to be a bit of a boom for them. Exmouth were quite happy with the bag limits. On behalf of the Shire of Shark Bay, I imposed the fifth paragraph there into the letter, imploring fishing bans in the most populated areas will no doubt fill both staff and vessels. Furthermore, whilst we believe in existing bag possession limits, greater enforcement. Hang on, where's the bit that? My bit there, Dale.
Greater enforcement compliance.
For believe greater, yeah. Whilst we believe existing bag limits are suitable, no, that's. This isn't the letter. This is the second one. This is the first one, Dale. This isn't the first one. This is the one, not the one that I composed. This is
so what
my addendum to that was, if we can find it, please. And we'll read it to you. but it goes along the lines of we were asking for more compliance, because if these fisheries are closed down in the lower half of the state, there will be basically compliance officers access to what they need, and we're asking for a redistribution of the compliance officers. But then there's another paragraph that I've added in there asking for an immediate reduction on bag and possession limits, an immediate review of bag and possession limits to line up with the closures, including in that I was asking for a education program on other fishing that still would be available to the regions, for example the near shore and the pelagic and the whiting fishing and the flathead fishing. And thirdly, I asked for a education program on caring and utilising catch, so that people got greater value out of what they did keep. So, Councillor Ridgely, yes, I can understand where you're going with that letter. I thought it was the actual one that I sent, but that was the one that the Exmouth Zone organised, and we made alterations, and they were agreed to by all four presidents. So that's the situation, and my discussions with the feeling for a reduction in bag limit is for the entire Gascoyne. I don't believe that we would be able to ask for just something for the Shire of Shark Bay. I think we'd have more chance of getting it spread across, and I'm more than happy to advocate for reduction in demersal bag limits. We're talking, remember, people just start talking about bag limits and they think it means everything, but we're only talking about the demersal fish. Cat 1 demersal fish. There's way more fishing out there. So on a slightly different note, a lot of tourism operators have been telling me that they've had a lot of cancellations, knee-jerk cancellations from Kalbarri South over this upcoming Christmas period, which just highlights the urgency of getting action. And so I think we need to definitely advocate for immediate action. We need to endorse the revised President's letter, which you will actually have in front of you eventually. And that's my little say on the matter. There's a few areas that whether we end up with advocating for 2 or 3 on a bag limit, well, I'm open to that discussion. And open possession limits, whether it's one day's whole catch and one day's, because in Shark Bay we do have issues with people going and staying at a premium resort on the island, a tourism resort, and that will need to, and they, if they stay there a week, they should be able to bring home 2 days bag limit as long as they're under the possession limit of filleted fish. So that's my position at the moment. And Councillor Fenny.
Yeah, I think we'll struggle to get any definitive answer from DPIRD relating to bag limits. I think the important part for us as a council, we have to understand that we're not scientists. As we sit here, so our position is a position of advocacy, and I think we're strong enough. The recommendation, as I read it, you cannot be clearer that we are advocating for a reduction in bag and possession limits. Really quick, decisive action as well, and again, an urgent stock assessment. I think that's really clear. I feel that's the intent of what we want to the outcome we are seeking.
Councillors, the CEO would like to read the letter, that's the revised letter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Through the chair, apologies for putting the wrong correspondence in front of you. So essentially the second last paragraph that on the letter in front of you came out, and it was replaced with furthermore, we believe that current demersal bag and possession limits are excessive in light of the recently announced bans on demersal fishing and require immediate action in an effort to prevent overfishing of the demersal resources in the Gascoyne. Along with revised possession limits, we would also like to see an education program relative to other fishing that is less threatened and is still very much viable and available, such as the pelagic inshore and estuarine categories. We also believe an education program on how to use, process and care for your catch would be beneficial to getting recreational fishers to respect the limited resource. So that was in the final version of the letter that went to the Premier. Is there any adjustments that we want to look at with regard to the current recommendation?
I would like to see an endorsement of the President's letter if the Council felt that was attached to this recommendation that went to attached to this writings that goes off to the people that we are going to intend to target. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Well, no, Councillor Johns would like to comment.
I'm still sort of concerned that there's no commitment to backfill those roles to help us with an education program in the community. Who's going to deliver that if they're not committed to resourcing the fisheries in town? And I would like to see us urge the Minister to make sure that we're actually resourced. We've got a minimum of 3 full-time staff that are supposed to be here, and we don't have that. So I'd just like to make that comment.
Yep. So you'd like to see that as as an addition to Councillor Smith's proposal?
Yes.
Thank you.
Through the Chair, and that would be in addition to the request for increased assets and resources that was in the letter to the...
In the President's letter.
In the President's letter as well. But
an endorsement of the President's letter, yep.
So I just wondered, Councillor Johns, are you looking for a fourth or another point under the recommendation that advocates on that resourcing?
I think I'd be happy that if the letter just contained, when we talked about assets, we were also talking about staffing and being really clear. Because I just don't see that come out of the letter. Whether the Minister's even aware that we don't have staff.
Like the Health Minister.
Yeah. And I just don't see that we're really making that point, that at a minimum, they need to make sure we're staffed.
Councillor Finney.
Well, then it would be pertinent to add point 4 on the recommendation, and that there is a specific mention of an increase in staffing. And then maybe as a point 5 to endorse the President's letter.
Increasing staffing, or just assurance that the staff that are supposed to be here are actually here?
Adequately resourced.
The area is adequately resourced.
But I believe Councillor Smith's mover of the motion, so as long as he's happy with the amendments to that motion.
Yeah, we're getting there. We just... Yeah.
So what was the point 4?
We haven't decided yet. So I think Councillor Johns, if I agree, I think we put in a fourth point that at the very least ensures we're getting the resourcing that has already been committed to.
Yeah, which is 3 permanent. Councillor Smith, with those 2 addendums to your motion, are you happy to, with that, it's your motion?
Yeah, I'm happy to have that 4th. I'm not sure which this is the 2nd. So I've got the urgent fish stocks, the demersal bag limits and possessions, the time sensitive, and then the 4th point being the staffing levels.
The staffing levels.
Which was promised to us and delivered by Minister Punch. However, now that we have lost Matt...
And Sam?
Well, we haven't lost Sam. Sam's back from annual
leave.
Just not here. So, in April, yes. So what's happening in between that? Jake Lewis is taking on the role from Carnarvon. And from a staffing perspective, I've been told by Maddie that that we are going to have additional staff down here. So hence my approach with that 5 kilo limit. Now, I know we can't get into too much detail with the advocacy, but I would like to highlight, and I know that it's already in there, but that 5 kilo limit, if we can put some additional pressure around that or additional advocacy around that, I think that really is your key to the whole, that's the crutch of the whole matter. So from an enforcement perspective, I agree completely with Councillor Johns. So definitely need something in there. I have been given some guarantees by the fisheries through Matt that we are going to have coverage over that time, and through Jake Lewis from Carnarvon. I just want to also add a couple of other things that were brought up. Now, there was, as you can see in that previous letter that from the zone, that there is going to be some, I think, some interesting feedback on limits, because the other Exmouth and the other regions may not feel that they want those type of restrictions brought in.
The presidents have already endorsed that, however.
Okay, so they haven't endorsed numbers, though.
They have a reduction,
okay,
is what they've endorsed.
All right, so I guess from 10 you could look at 5. So hopefully something like that does occur. The reason, Councillor Fenny spoke on this previously, it has worked in Nanga. So from a science perspective, we have had a very good result with the way that they've dealt with Nanga. Firstly, the closure. And then they've gone on to a 5 kilo limit, and the fish, from my observation, given that we haven't had a stock assessment for 10 years and the data that was used on that was out of date, from my observation being down there, there is a very healthy population of fish down in that area, and also the catches that you see coming across the table now. So I believe that as a fallback, if we had to push for a more localised, it still could be done in the marine park. I don't see that there'd be any real reason, given that we have had that situation in Nanga, and given that they have got that southwest closure, that we don't specifically have something that's more designed for Shark Bay.
Okay.
Just on,
Councillor Smith, can I just ask you to hold there for a moment? So while the note takers catch up, we do just want to get consensus on how dot point 4 is going to read, please. So as we've written so far, Mr. CEO.
Well, I mean, I was just through the chair. I was just going to start with, you know, at a minimum, we want to ensure that our current staffing levels are maintained.
To ensure appropriate
enforcement. Yep.
Compliance.
Yep.
That appropriate or sufficient?
So just at a minimum.
Please, Councillor Johnson. Yeah, you're right.
So my recommendation would be that the minimum staff levels are consistently maintained, so there's not a gap. You don't need to put that bit. Just consistently maintained, and where possible, increased during peak periods.
Councillors, are we happy with that point 4 as it reads?
So point 4 would be that minimum staffing levels are consistently maintained and where possible increased during peak periods.
Yeah. Can we actually highlight the fact that they're currently inadequate?
Sorry, through the chair, Councillor Smith, you mean that the three that are committed aren't
aren't here.
Suggesting that they're not here?
That's correct.
Address current inadequate staffing levels.
Well, the staffing levels are adequate, it's just that they're not filled.
Surely there's contingency. If there's three...
Mate, you're dealing with...
all
not what we've just seen.
No contingency.
No. There's no contingency.
So we want to...
Maybe minimum staffing levels are committed and are consistently...
Fulfilled. Maintained.
Implement a what words did we use on Friday? I'm going to come up with some.
Mr. President, I'd be happy to. Just work with what we, I think the whole crutch of what we're after is there. If we can just, just mould that into a more suitable presentation.
So we're happy with the intent and we will massage the wording.
Address staffing levels.
Keep
it simple.
We'll work that. Okay. Councillor Smith, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. President. I kind of understand where Councillor Ridgely was coming from. It's been discussed before about selective tourism. And I think this is an opportunity to, clearly state that if you're coming here to fill your freezers, don't. Now, how we go about that, whether it's through a 5 kilo limit just for this area, if it comes out over the next months, and from talking with the Fisheries Department, there's no plan for the Minister in the near future, moving into the new year, to address this concern of the... So they're suggesting it may be somewhere towards April, May, before the Minister even looks at what's going to happen with our region. So... if we can get a response through this, through advocation, and there is some of that we're not happy about, my suggestion would be is that we revisit this in February and then address the more pointier end and just say, well, we want it for here, so that the Minister can act, and she can act to deal with localised fishing issues. So...
All right. Councillor Finney, did you have anything to add?
No, but did we say we'd put a 0.5 to endorse the President's letter? We have?
That's the other point, yes.
We have.
Yeah.
And is everybody happy with that?
No.
It's just about to happen. Okay. So...
That's okay, that's the easy one, just endorse them.
The revised letter.
I've just given some more.
The amended letter. Okay. So are we all clear where we're going, councillors? Because now I'm going to ask for a vote on the motion with the amendments. Okay. All in favour of the motion with the amendments as written on the board behind us? Carried 5-0. Thank you, Councillor Smith. Okay. The meeting is adjourned for 5 minutes for a comfort stop. Please note, the meeting's adjourned for 5 minutes.